Father, we thank you in Jesus' name, Lord, that you've given us a voice and breath to praise your Son. Lord, what a joy unspeakable and full of glory it is to praise him and worship him, adore him, thank him. Lord, oh, he's all in all. And I thank you, Father, oh, what you've given in your Son. Oh, the peace that passes all understanding, the very rest of God. Oh, the joy of the Lord that's my strength. God, thank you, Lord, that we know that of ourselves we can do nothing. Oh, but in you, but in you, but in you, nothing is hard. Thank you, Lord, that you're able. Thank you, Lord, that you're well able. And God, thank you again that you've called us and you've chosen us. Lord, so grateful, justified, sanctified, glorified, together with you, Lord, the mark for that prize, Lord God. Oh, let it just be something that burns in our heart for you and that we yearn for it, Jesus. Lord, thank you for this time, Lord God. Thank you for the reality of Jesus. Thank you for this faith, Lord God, that we know, hallelujah, we know you. We know your love. Thank you, Lord God. We know that you are for us, Lord God. Thank you so much for that great love. Thank you so much for enlightened eyes of understanding. Thank you so much for the grace and mercy of God that is ours, Lord. It's all ours, Lord God. Thank you that we go boldly. We are the elect of God. Thank you, Lord, that we are well able. We are accepted in the beloved, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name I am in the presence of you today. Lord, I thank you, God, that I'm before the throne in the Son's name right now with my brethren, Lord Jesus. And I rejoice in that. There's nothing to beg. It's all been freely given, Lord God. I'm blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. This and Christ, what want I more? In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, open your Bibles. We're going to John chapter 21. So thankful to God for that encouraging song. And again, it's all because of his Spirit. But I'm grateful to God in this chapter of John 21. We have so much in that that's been given. There's such a type and shadow of when the Lord will, in the millennial time, even have his people, Israel, to go out and to be the ones that will preach the gospel to all nations. It'll be a marvelous time. I love that and thank the Lord for the faithfulness of the Father. You know, Israel's been an unfaithful wife, but thanks be to God, he abides faithful forever. He's true to his word. And I get excited about that part of this scripture in here. But today, even some very personal things as we read the first 17 verses. It says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on the wise showed himself. Now, just a little more than 8 days before this, he had rose from the grave. He had been crucified at this time, and he had risen. He appeared to those precious disciples that were gathered, fearful, and he walked through that door. It was shut, and he walked through it. And he showed them his hands and his feet, and it was so beautiful and so thankful to God. And then even 8 days later, Thomas was with them that time, and Thomas was the guy that said, oh, I've got to put my hand in his side. I got to put my fingers in the holes of his hands. And there was Jesus in his faithfulness standing right there in front of Thomas. Oh, I love you, son. Come on in here. Just touch me all over if you need to. Here we go. It's me. Hallelujah. I am risen. Hallelujah. And thanks be to God. Again, even in our unbelief, he abides faithful. Isn't that wonderful? Thank the Lord so richly for that. Just praise him for his great grace today. But this is where we're at. So he's showing himself again to these precious disciples. And it says that there were together in verse 2, Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana, Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing.
They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth, entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. And remember this, brothers and sisters, that see, they don't know that Jesus is about to appear again to them. But see, it wasn't long ago, matter of fact, a little over 3 years ago, when Jesus had called these disciples out from being fishermen, it said that they forsook their nets. They left them behind. They weren't ever going to do that again. You ever tell God you're never going to do something again? Huh? I'm going to leave that behind, God. Poor Peter. I'm thankful for Peter, though. Oh, I love him so much, my precious brother. I can't wait to give him a hug. Hallelujah. But Simon Peter said to them, I go fishing. He took them with him, and they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? And I love that word, children. You might mark this in your Bibles. That means infants. Little babies. Yeah, I love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can you imagine these rough fishermen? Who is that guy calling me a baby out there? He says, infants, do you have any meat? And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Isn't that something when we always get on the right side? And that ain't a political side. That's called Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's always the right side. So they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes that were in that net. Therefore the disciples whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it's the Lord. And that was sweet John. He said, Peter, it's Jesus. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisherman's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. I love that so much. Peter was naked again. Peter's always naked before God, and you are too. And I've heard many people say, and I don't know exactly, but they said, you know, Peter got into that water because he was just going to swim and get to the Lord first. Let me tell you something. With all the things that Peter just went through, denying the Lord three times, Peter was hoping he had a weight. I believe Peter was trying to drown himself at that moment. And just think, they were singing about how Peter had walked on the water. It's amazing how guilt can seize us very quickly when we return to some of the old ways, huh? You pray for me. I don't know if I get through this. Oh, he's so wonderful. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. Oh, isn't that wonderful? And they found that multitude. And then the disciple John, he said to Peter, it's Jesus. And then Peter cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, in verse 8. For they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, bring the fish which ye have caught now. Simon Peter went up, drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet there was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of his disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then comes and takes the bread, and he gives it to him, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined with Jesus, saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And see what Jesus said to him, do you agape, do you divinely love me more than these, Simon Peter? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. That was Peter's response to him. But Peter didn't respond to him saying, oh, I divinely love thee. He said, Jesus, I love you as a friend. And he saith unto Peter, he said, you know, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Do you divinely love me? Do you passionately love me, Peter? And Peter said unto him, O Lord, thou knowest that I love you as a friend. That's filial love. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me as a friend? See, Jesus changes even this one right here. He doesn't say, do you divinely love me anymore? Jesus knew all along. But he's mining something here. He's got a message coming to us right now. Amen. And a message coming to Peter. Hallelujah. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, O Lord,
you know that I love you. I love you as a friend. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. I love a camp meeting. I do. Don't you love a camp meeting? And I love that God gives us a camp meeting. And I praise God that our camp meeting is beginning today. And there is a joy and thanksgiving that I cannot tell you, express to you how thankful I am for God blessing us with a camp meeting. And brothers and sisters, this was a camp meeting. What we're reading right here was a precious camp meeting that Jesus called the disciples to. And just like us, these disciples did not deserve it. And just like us, you know what? They weren't even really looking for it. But you know what? God had it waiting for them. Because Jesus couldn't help himself. Isn't that amazing? I always love this about our Lord and Savior. Jesus so doted upon these disciples. He bragged to the Father about them. He said, oh, these guys are so wonderful. These are my brothers. These are my friends. And these are all the ones that first, you know, just left. Here, see you, Jesus. But he loved them. They were his brothers and his friends. And here he was, so forever faithful. I've got to gather with my brothers. I've got to gather with my friends. I've got meat for them. We're going to have a camp meeting. And so Jesus, he appears to them here on this shore. And he appears to them as they have gone back to their old ways of fishing. You'll read about that in Matthew 4 and Mark 1. Again, it says they followed Jesus at that time. They forsook their nets. That means they left that behind, but they were right back to their old ways. And man, am I thankful to Jesus that he never leaves me when I revert back to my old ways. I'm amazed at that love. I'm amazed at that beautiful Lord, that he's always there. That our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is always faithful. That he is always calling out to us. Even when I am bringing up empty nets. Even when I'm out there in my own strength, which is I'm out there in unbelief. He's always calling out. Honey, I've got meat for you. I've got a dining table set right here. I've got a camp meeting for us. Come on. So, he abides forever faithful. As we see here, he's continually calling out to them, come on now, leave those weights behind. And I love this as well too. How close they were. The abundance was just on the other side of the boat. Think about that. It was right there all the time, wasn't it? But you know what? Close doesn't get it with God. There is a mark. There is an exact. And it's called the word. Any other way, it's always going to be leanness. So close to it. I think about the people of God, you know, then you think about Israel in the wilderness. They walked around the promise for 40 years. Isn't that something? They walked around it. It was right there. They figured out at times if they would have walked, you know, maybe a quarter of a mile, they would have walked right in. But unbelief, murmuring, not believing the things of God, and you walk around it. Not believing the things of God, going in our own strength, thinking somehow we're going to make our own way. You're always going to be on the wrong side of the boat. And it'll always be empty. It'll always leave you lean. And isn't it amazing how, and it is, when we revert to that, it's just an endless circle. It just, you go right back to it, right back to it, right back to it. And here's the straight path. This takes you right out of it. Just, Lord, let me believe the word of God. Let me believe the word of God in everything. And just like that precious brother speaking of today, I could tell that, you know, he was really gripped by guilt and failure. Really gripped by exactly what the word of the Lord is. And I pray he's here this morning. He was trying to get here. I said, brother, you just need to hear the word of God. He's got a dining set for us today. He's got a banquet to meet every hollow that you need to have filled this morning. And it's so true because this is it. Some of it.
But isn't that how God does? He just gives you the much, the more. You thought you came in for this and he just gave you he gave you everything. My goodness, I didn't realize I could eat like that. But see, he said to that bride, I gave you 2 rows of teeth. But see, this is exactly what this is that, you know, they were just going back to their old ways. They were going back to what they thought that, you know, this is who I am. This is how I know how to survive. This somehow is going to make me happy. This is going to be my fix. And yet God said, oh no, I've got meat for you. Lord, help us to take this today, brothers and sisters, because we'll just walk around it and walk around it and walk around it. But we can yield to God today. We can yield to God today. We can say, you know, truly in Jesus' name, Lord, I believe you. I believe you for my infirmities. I believe you for all of these needs. I'm not going to focus on the infirmities. I'm going to focus and rejoice in the power of Christ that rests upon me. I believe that is the deliverance, brothers and sisters. I know it is. Because whom he has made free is free indeed. I'm thankful to the Lord when I can believe that and I can enter into what he's already given. That power of Christ that rests upon me, nothing can stand against that power. I love it. I thank God that it gives me the need to get onto my knee and to lift up my hands and say, Jesus, I'm weak, but you're strong. I can truly come to him boldly and to say, Lord, I know that in this failure, praise God, you've already met me with all the grace that I need to rise up and to go on. And I thank God that he's shown me over and over throughout the word of God. You think about sweet Peter. How many times he failed in telling God, oh Lord, I'll always follow you. Lord, if they try to come and get you, you know, I'm the one. These guys, they might chicken out here, but I'm not. I'm the one that's going to hang in there and do it. Look, I'm going to take a guy's ear off. I'm going to do all this stuff. And finally, Jesus said, you know, in a hard attitude like that, you know, that's Satan talking, honey. You got to get behind me on that one. You're going to realize he's going to come in here and he's going to sift you like wheat. But it's because I'm going to allow that to happen. We need to break that pride. You need to know that if it wasn't for my grace and mercy, you would have no faith. If it wasn't for my grace and mercy, you wouldn't bend that knee. If it wasn't for that grace and mercy, you wouldn't know anything about my word. But when will that happen? When will I quit on my side of the boat? He's never left. He's right there. When will I get out of my side of the boat and get on his side? When will I take my life and say, Lord, I want to cast the net in the word of God. I want abundance to come into my home and into my life. And you know what I do? I thank God for that leanness too. Because that leanness oftentimes is what's quickened my heart to bring me to God. But I had to break. I had to break before him. See, and that was sweet John. John said, oh, that's Jesus, guys. That's Jesus. That wasn't us. That wasn't any of my friends. That was the word of God. That's what got a hold of us here. We were all returning back to our own ways. It wasn't just Peter. Peter, don't feel bad. I was going to march in it too. You were just the first one to open your mouth. Don't go blaming somebody else for your departure from the things of God. Huh? But that word called out to them and they finally listened. When you listen to the word, praise God, you're going to cast a net. And you're going to have such an abundance that you're not even going to have the strength to get it back. You're not even going to have the ability to bring it in. But that was the other miracle. But those nets don't break. Amen. Oh, I thank God. We're just on a fishing trip. Had some big fish on. And there were moments I thought, oh my goodness, is that line going to break? I've had them break before. My sweet brother was with me. Not only did my line not break, never lost a hook, never got a snag, not anything. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm casting on the right side of the boat. Oh, God, let him talk to you. I have a good time with him. I might be a nut to you, but I'll tell you what, I'm getting pretty wise unto him. But see, without the word of the grace, word of his grace, the mark for the prize will never be had. It won't be. And so they listen to the word of God, and Jesus is waiting on the shore with all of that meat. And think about it. He's already got the table prepared. It's all spread. He's got the bread. He's got the feed. He's the fish. He's got the meat on the grill. It's all going on. A feast of abundance is ready to be had, all by the Lord, all by the grace of God. All the while that they were fearful again and returning to their old ways. I love how quiet you are, because you know this. He's got a feast. It's there, isn't it? Hallelujah. It's there. And so he calls them. He says, I got a camp meeting. And I got the meat. And see, camp meetings have started. And he's got the meat. And he's calling out. So by the grace of God, I want to come to shore. You know, I want to just go on and eat. Amen? Okay, I can see we've had some Peters out here today, and that was a good thing too. Try to drown yourself for a moment. Now let your brethren take you back in, and let's go on to shore. All right? Isn't that a wonderful thing? Praise the Lord. See, God's getting through. Hallelujah. This is what he does. But once again, just to remind us again and again, it's all been set. All done by the incredible loving Lord. All the while these guys are in complete fear, derision, returning to their old habits. Let's just say what it is. They're walking in unbelief. But we are called by grace. We are kept by grace. And we are encouraged even in the midst of our unbelief by grace. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's just flash forward a little bit. After all the miracles of the fish, after all the miracles of the feast, after the miracle of Jesus appearing to them, such incredible events. And I thank God for our camps because, you know what, we always have some incredible events, amazing things. God gets us excited and quickened. He gives us song. He gives us all of these different things that we have at camp, the fellowship and all these things. But God's got something in mind here. He's got something that he's provided within this camp. He's all about one thing. It's all going to get down to the only thing that matters. Peter, do you love me? We're not out here just to fellowship. We're not out here to just see miracles. We're not out here for me to just again speak to you. See, Jesus loves the reply. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? The most important thing they faced at that camp meeting, just like the most important thing we're going to be faced with today, do you love me? Do you love me? Amen? And see, loving Jesus as a friend wasn't going to be enough. I love how that's already started. It wasn't going to be enough. See, Jesus knew before he ever asked him exactly what Peter's response was going to be. Amen? But see, this is the testimony of the Word of God. This is why, by the grace of God, even in our failures as we turn to God, we're epistles read of men. The Word of God is being written in our lives for others to see, to read, and to rejoice, and to take strength in. Not just our victories where we think, oh my goodness, I trusted God all along. The greatest victories of our life is when we didn't trust God, when we failed miserably, and yet by his grace we trust him, we feast, we rise, and we run on. That's the greatest of victory. Amen. And by the way, that's every single one that's written in the faith book of fame in Hebrews 11. It was by faith. It was never by their strength. It was never by, well, I positioned myself to be a good guy and that's why God had favor on me. No, I'll have grace upon whom I'll have grace. I'll have mercy upon whom I'll have mercy. And praise be to God. He's given us all the grace and mercy this morning. So get over any doubt. You're hearing this. You've got it. He's given it, and he's given it fully. Thank you, Jesus. But see, he's after something here in Peter, and he knows Peter's response and what it's going to be. But see, what he's pointing out here is this: love me as a friend, Peter. This, hey, we're buddies. That ain't going to satisfy. It's not what I'm after. I've given the much, the more. But see, what the Lord is showing so clearly here is Peter can't answer anything but that time. Did you know that? Peter couldn't change it. Peter couldn't even in his mind change it. And you know why Peter couldn't say, Lord, I agape love you? Because we hadn't got to Pentecost yet. That's the truth. We haven't gotten to Pentecost yet. We haven't gotten to the time as Jesus had preached to them earlier in John. Oh, I've got many things to say unto you, brothers. But you know what? As much as I love you, you can't even understand them now, you little children. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, oh my. Oh, he's been with you. He's with you. But he shall be in you. Oh my goodness. Oh, then all the things, all truth, he'll walk you in it. He'll take the things of mine. He'll make them yours. He'll show you, praise God, that life that lives in you, how glorious to the fullness, the measure, the stature of the fullness, the measure of stature of that maturity of Christ Jesus. But exactly what this is speaking of, and the Holy Ghost is the one that takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in your heart. Amen. See, this is what he's asking here to Peter. Peter, are you in love with me? That's it. Because Peter, I'm in love with you. Peter, I'm in love with you. Do you love me? Are you in love with me? And Peter can't even comprehend that. Peter can't get that. But oh my, after Pentecost, praise be to God and giving the Spirit. Oh my goodness. Wish we could read all of Peter 1 and 2 today, but that'll be for you. Look at what the love of God did in that precious brother. Oh, yeah. He was the one that said, oh, at the very end of it all, he said, oh, my goodness. We grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He realized that great grace. He praised God for that great grace. But see, this was the mark. Nothing else was going to be but that divine agape love. And think about the agape love that the Lord has given to us. We're talking about such divine love to love him in full bridal capacity, brothers and sisters. That's what Jesus is after in us. That's what he wants us to grow up to him in all things about. Just think of what we're studying right now, the church of Ephesus, that very first church. This is speaking of those at this day and this age that really do, they love the Lord. They're faithful. They love that precious, wonderful grace. They walk in the things of God. They rejoice in the things of God. They hear the word of God. They do not deny his name. But Jesus said, I have one thing against you. You have left your paramount love. You have left the first love. I'll give it to you straight. You have fallen out in love with me. Amen. This is what he's after, brothers and sisters. Jesus, praise God, this is what he desires. Honeys, I want you to fall in love with me. In love. Now, I'm telling you, as a young person and hearing this, and I thank God I heard this when I was very young. Matter of fact, all my life, even from my mother. So wonderful. But that was the encouragement of mom. Honey, just fall in love with Jesus. And I'd hear that all the time. Just fall in love with Jesus. I got a little bit older, got filled with the Holy Ghost. Even filled with the Holy Ghost. And thought, you know, Lord, what is this in love, in love, in love? And hearing about the bridal message and all of those. And sometimes you can see, think that you're going to try to force it. But you know what? You can't force love. Can't you? It's just there. Amen? And let's be honest, too. Sometimes you don't want it to be there. Even in the natural. Oh, I don't want to feel this way. Why can't I get her out of my mind? Why can't I get away from this in love that Jesus is so in love with me? Aren't you thankful he never backed down? Aren't you thankful he never backed down? There ain't nothing that's going to get him to stop. Man, I love that verse that says, oh, I've come for your words. When you told him, all I had to hear it was one time. Oh, Jesus, I'm in love with you. I will go. I get this bridal message. The Spirit has touched my heart with it. I want to move. And, you know, at that moment, you think, oh, my goodness, the orchestra of heaven's playing. You know it. You're just floating in all of this, and it's just amazing. But then maybe a day goes by, a week, month, whatever, and my goodness, you can't hear music, you can't hear nothing. Somebody's dropped you in a desert, almost getting to the point of murmuring, thinking, oh, God, I'm going to go another way. Oh, but the grace of God that's with us. Jesse, do you love me? Jesus, I love you. I love you so much. Oh, Lord, those nights that I've had when I am so beside myself, whether it's in my own self or with my children or with my family or my job or whatever it may be, and oh, how you've comforted me. How you come in when I don't feel anybody knows what I'm thinking. Nobody understands what's going on. But man, I'm in your arms and you've held me all these times. And I think about all the times that I didn't want to believe. And I've moved in my own strength. And Lord, when you've even told me no, and yet I've gone. Do I love you, Jesus?
I love you.
Oh,
do I love you, Jesus? Do I love you?
Oh, oh my. Oh, yes. But see, that's the amazing about all of this wonderful camp stuff and that camp that they had there. All of that brethren fellowship, it stopped. It came to an end. Because it was going to be one-on-one with Jesus alone. That was it. The whole point of a camp meeting. Do you love me? The whole point of your life. Didn't ask you what you're going to do for me. Didn't ask you, well, are you going to live for me? I have a precious wife back there. All I wanted her to do is love me. That's all. And all she wanted her husband to do is to love her. And I'm telling you, you just love, it causes you to will and to do things beyond you. Things that you're not. And you know what? I'm not any of these things, naturally speaking, in the Word of God that would be the good things for Him. But praise be to God, in that love, I'm everything for Him. In His love, I'm tailor-made for Him. I walk in His love. I fulfill Him. I complete Him. Know it. Yeah, I talk like this to other Christians. They get upset. They do. I'm so thankful I know the Word of God. What do you mean Jesus isn't complete without you? He's not. He wants a bride. He's not going to take the throne as God until He has His wife. No, you count that like that's done? No, I'm not. I get it. But I'm counting Him faithful. I believe in the message, in the transforming message, praise God, of the glory of His grace message. I believe it's for ones like me, praise God, that aren't worthy. Ones like me that fail. Ones like me that, oh my goodness, wretched man that I am. Ones like me, oh the good that I would, I do not. But the evil that I would,
would not that I do? Ones like me. Praise God. He's called me to that grace. He's called me to praise him and worship him till I see him for his mercy. Do you love me? Well, I'll tell you what. I can see it's already begun here. He's got you one-on-one. Because you hear him. And sheep can't help it. Because you know his voice. But just as they sang, really, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with this voice today? What will you do? Jesus, I divinely love you. I do. You've given that spirit. I love you. And that's all he wants. That's all he wants is us to adore him and to love him. He wants to be loved. We're with the love he loves us with. Isn't that wonderful? Those that are married, isn't that all that you wanted when you got married? My goodness, I didn't say, okay, Polly, can you cook? She couldn't. She can now. She's really good. Jesse, can you do anything with any type of a tool or anything? No, and I still can't. And I can't. But the one thing, by the grace of God, I adore my wife. I'm so thankful. I'm not here to testify, but I thank God for that. But beyond that, I adore Jesus. I love him so. I do, and I know you do. You wouldn't be here listening to this message. It wouldn't be the quickening power of your whole fiber of everything in your body. And that's what'll change you from glory to glory. Wait upon him. Don't get ahead of what he's working. Don't. But love. Love. And let's love one another. Praise God. Amen. Love and love and love. Peter, do you love me? I divinely love you, Jesus. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Grateful to you. And Lord, thank you for, again, the proposal. That's your message. Lord, thank you for lives that rejoice in hearing the message, Lord God, of the soon coming bridegroom. Lord, again, we know that we are your workmanship. Thank you, Lord, that you're the potter and we're the clay. Lord, thank you for every life that's in here this morning. If this is maybe the first time they're hearing these things, Lord, just quicken that life to know that, you know what? They've heard the things. They've heard the word of the Lord today. Lord, let ones that see these things in us, Lord God, ask, have a question. And God, let us be ready to give every man an answer for that abounding hope of the joy of the Lord, the great love of Jesus that is with us. Lord, thank you again for this time. And God, as we go to this camp, if you tarry, Lord, may everything that's said and done, Lord, every minister that gives the word of God, every teacher that utters, every song that is given, Lord God, may it only go to the praise of the magnificence of the glory of your grace. God, let this be the most transparent of all camps we've had. Let it be only Jesus that people see. God, let us cease of our own works, Lord Jesus. Let us not be any way, shape, or form, be something in our own selves, God. Let us just give it over to you. And most importantly, Lord Jesus, tender the young people as they come at this camp. God, we're so thankful for them. And you love these lives here today. Let these young people know right now, God, touch their heart to know how much you love them. As you said, Jesus, don't prevent my little ones from coming unto me. And I'll tell you, young people, go unto him fully this camp. Oh, let him just give you a joy and a rejoicing above and beyond anything you've ever experienced before. And in Jesus' name, Lord God, we know that whatsoever we ask in your name, believing, yes, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, I'll do it. And Lord, as you said of that precious brother and that sister, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. I believe you, Jesus. I believe in your divine love for me. I believe in the word of your grace for your people. I believe, praise God, that you are for us. And praise God, there isn't anything that can be against us. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.